The streets of San Francisco are changing. There are separated bike lanes off Market Street, green paint all over the wiggle. The city's definitely becoming more bicycle friendly. After many delays, the city's bike plan is well underway, with city streets long designed for car traffic being reconfigured for other modes of transportation. 4 years ago, the city had 45 miles of bike lanes. Today, there are 65, and more are scheduled to be laid down. And 75 more miles of streets will be stenciled with symbols designating them as bike-friendly routes. It's all having a big impact. According to the San Francisco Bike Coalition, bike trips have increased more than 70% since 2006. But one of the planners' choices hasn't been implemented so smoothly, and it's flat out rankled many of the bicyclists it's supposed to serve. KALW's Ray Sue Sussman and Ben Trefney report.
I've been biking around San Francisco for about a decade now.
Me too. Downtown.
West Side.
Mission District.
Ocean Avenue.
Pretty much all over.
So when the city decided to put together a big bike plan, I was pretty psyched.
Yeah, they said it would change the way San Francisco got to work. And after some legal slowdowns and an environmental impact report, they rolled it out. Green bike lanes on Market Street.
More bike parking all over the place.
Sharrows.
What?
You know, share the road arrows. They're those little stencils of bicyclists along the city's better bike routes. The ones with the little pointy arrows on top.
Oh, right, yeah. The ones that look like a Cub Scout badge for biking.
Yeah, sharrows.
All right, and then the striping of Golden Gate Park. Last spring, I talked with Leah Shaim about that project. She's the executive director of the San Francisco Bike Coalition.
And what this means, roughly, is that imagine the parking lanes that are there kind of being moved out more into the center of the street, and the bikeway, the dedicated bikeway, will be against the curb or against the green space or the sidewalk area, so that people biking actually have that physical separation from the moving traffic. And JFK Drive was, we think, a great place to try this because it's way wider than most streets in San Francisco, so there was room there to try something different.
Something different.
Like an experiment.
Right. An experiment on a road I bike at least once a week.
I used to love biking down JFK Boulevard. It was really wide. It was like you owned it.
Yeah, honestly, I don't think it had many stripes whatsoever. But now it's full of them. So if you're looking down the street, on the far right side, there's a bike lane. Next to that, there's a lane for parking.
But in between those two, there's a buffer zone. The SFMTA...
That's the San Francisco Municipal Transportation Agency.
They say that the buffer zone needs to be at least 3 feet wide.
So bicyclists won't get doored by passengers who are getting out of the right side of their cars.
Yep. So bike lane, buffer zone, parking lane.
And then this one narrow lane for the cars heading down the road.
That's half of it. And then there's the traffic coming in the other direction and parked cars on that side, and another buffer zone, and then another bike lane.
That's a lot of new striping. Nearly $450,000 worth for the 1.5 miles that they did it on. And the MTA's told us that it was more than that in planning. So, Ray Sue, you talked with some people in the park to see what they think of this whole thing.
I did, and we're going to hear from a few of them, starting with this guy, who stopped while driving his car down JFK Boulevard.
My name is Jimmy.
Jimmy, can you give me your first and last name and where you live?
I live in San Francisco, and my name is Harris.
Jimmy Harris?
Yes. And I think this is one of the dumbest things I ever saw, that they put these stripes down here.
Can you give me your name first and last, please?
Nick, and it's Sheremetyev. I live in, actually, in Daly City. I ride, but I also drive.
Mm-hmm.
And I think from a driver's standpoint, it's pretty bad. And parking is kind of intimidating and weird.
Then there's this couple.
Oh, Elizabeth Jones, and we live in Concord.
Frank Jones, we live in Concord.
It was a little confusing. It did confuse us a little bit.
Well, we pulled up and stopped behind somebody, and we thought they're not moving. Then we realized there was nobody in the car, so we went around them.
All right, hey, Ray Sue.
Hey, Ben Trefney.
So you and I have come and met here in Golden Gate Park at the corner of JFK and, what is that called, Music Concourse?
Right across from the hot dog stand.
And that's in front of the DeYoung Museum. So we pulled the newsroom and we said, what's an average car? And what we decided on was the...
Toyota Corolla.
And here we have a Toyota Corolla. So anyway, what I was thinking, Ray Sue, is that we could pull out a measuring tape and we could
measure how wide the dimensions of these different things are, because I think that'll help us get some grounding in how big things maybe need to be in order for it to really work on a practical level.
But also, we should measure the Toyota Corolla, and then we should measure that big SUV up there to see how much wider it is.
That's a good point. All right, so let's go ahead and we could park your bike. And I've got my measuring tape out here, right here. And we're going to go ahead and do some measurements. So the size of the parking space. Okay, yeah. You take this side. Watch out for cars because there's not a lot of room over there. And we've got the size of this parking space here is approximately 80 inches, which that's about six and two-thirds feet. Okay, let's measure this Corolla that's right here. Okay, the Corolla is just over 5 feet. I've got 5 1/4 feet. So maybe even kind of, it looks slightly small compared to these
it
other cars.
It looks small. It's maybe an older model.
Yeah. This particular one is about 5 1/4 feet. That means that they have just over, they have about maybe 1.5 feet, roughly maybe 1.5 feet of wiggle room in where they're supposed to park.
I guess so.
Okay, let's check out this GMC Yukon. I've got it at 80 inches.
Yeah, there's a foot there that it parked into from the driver's side edge of the car to the line.
Honestly, it's kind of hard to blame them. I mean, if you're parking a big truck like this, because this is your car, and you see a van coming here, which is already going up over the yellow lines just to avoid us, you're not going to be trying to, you're going to try to get far away from those, I think.
Right. And I do see that the car in front of it is parked pretty far to the right, I think even in the buffer zone. So if it was trying to line up its right side with that car, I think it would be difficult.
Yeah, you know, the roadway, the width is a little narrower.
That's SFMTA project manager Peter Brown.
But for the most part, this isn't a place to be going really fast from A to B. This is a community park. It's a national institution. And having folks slow down if someone wants to parallel park, we think that's a good thing.
So he's saying people should slow down so they don't hit other people.
That individual may like it if they're getting their destination 20 or 30 seconds faster. But for the overall community, it's probably not that big of an impact.
The bikeway has slowed traffic on JFK. For cars, about 2 or 3 miles per hour slower since the road was striped, according to a preliminary report from the SFMTA.
That makes sense. I mean, the thoroughfare is much more narrow now, and cars have to fully stop if anyone in front of them is trying to park.
Bike speeds have also dropped from an average of 14.5 miles per hour to a little bit less than 13 miles per hour during the week, and even slower on weekends.
The report suggests that's because bicyclists who used to cruise really fast up or down the park, they have to slow down now for other cyclists and the people who are trying to get across the bike lanes to their cars. Now, calming traffic was part of the point of this project, and it would, on paper anyway, make the park more accessible and safer.
And the MTA surveyed people who use the park both before and shortly after the new stripes went in. Almost 90% of responders felt like they understood the striping, but only about 60% liked it. And some people I talked with, like Lita Ward, well, they didn't.
So it's really funny that you would ask, because I was just formulating a letter in my head while I was on my bike approaching you. Because I've had several incidents where I've nearly collided with people getting out of their cars that are crossing the bike lane into the sidewalk area. And I was screamed at by one man who was with his 4-year-old daughter who stepped out into the bike lane. And it was really frightening. And obviously we can't stop quickly enough. And I think it's a great concept that, sorry, I'm a little out of breath because I was pedaling hard. It's a great concept, but drivers need to be aware of what that change means for bicyclists, because we are going 25, 30 miles per hour, and it's like stepping into ongoing traffic.
It didn't take us long wandering around JFK to see what she was talking about.
Whoa, well, so two teenagers were using the downhill slope. They were really kind of going fast as they went by me.
They did not stop at the stop sign there.
No, and they were kind of revving up the speed. They were on mountain bikes, and then I heard something. I turned around, and there was a pedestrian crossing the bike lane to get to his car, and he basically had to jump out of the way of these fast-going bicyclists.
Yeah,
speedy bicyclists.
That was definitely a close one. He looked startled for sure.
They both did. I mean, the kids obviously hadn't anticipated that issue, and neither had the pedestrian.
You know, I'm in favor of separate bikeways, so that's a good experiment to me. I've heard different people kvetching about it for various reasons, but I'm basically in favor of that.
That's Chris Carlson. He's a big-time bike advocate. Co-founded the Critical Mass Ride 20 years ago. Now he runs Shaping San Francisco, which looks into ways to improve the city.
Part of it is the problem when you do those things in isolation like that, and there's no public campaign. Imagine if there was a full-blown public campaign with billboards and, you know, PSAs on all the stations saying, we're changing how the city works. There's now going to be bike lanes. You've got to get used to it. We're going to live this other way now, and there's going to be lots of room for safe cycling. And, you know, motorists have to learn that they're turning right across cycle paths. That's very different than what you've done before. Here's an educational booklet put on every doorstep. You know, a proper education campaign in conjunction with an infrastructural transformation, I think, could really be very successful.
All right, Ben, that was quite an examination.
Yeah, and there are other people who are still examining what works and what doesn't about the striping of Golden Gate Park. The SF Bike Coalition, they have a webpage devoted to the JFK Separated Bikeway Project. It shows a picture of four people biking down the lane, led by a child, right next to a car that's parked, yes, in the buffer zone.
Yeah, the page addresses some of the problems that we've been talking about. Cars that aren't parked where they're supposed to be, people crossing the bikeway without looking.
The SFMTA has a webpage called the JFK Cycle Track, and it includes a survey in which people can share their thoughts about what they like and what they don't like.
Well, I liked seeing here how that even with the imposed structure, people are making it work for them. I saw sporty bicyclists take the car lane to avoid slow biking tourists, pedestrians in the bike path to avoid sprinklers, and the cars driving through like they did before, only slightly slower.
Yeah, that part's all good, but they striped that park in the middle of last year, and more than half the cars still don't park right. I'm not sure it's ever going to work quite the way they imagined it.
That might just be part of the reality of the design process.
And it might be something we're going to have to get used to. For Cross Currents, I'm Ben Trefney.
And I'm Ray Sue Sussman.